I don't know about you. I get choked up every St. Patrick's Day.
So emotional.
I see a green beer and it just... Guess who's back? Back again. CWB's back. Tell all of your friends and airdrop it. That was awkward.
Tell all of your friends and leave a review. Rate, review, subscribe. Airdrop that shit.
Do all of those things. Hey, how's it been? It's been a while. Couple
it's
months.
It's been so long. I feel like I'm 80 now.
I've been through 5 different countries since we last spoke.
Seriously?
Yeah, I did. Let me think. Australia, Thailand, Malaysia, Singapore, and the US. Yeah. So,
well,
I've been bouncing.
There's a reason for that.
There
is.
You were
on your honeymoon.
I was. I got married in our downtime. Part of the reason for the downtime was the fact I was getting married. So it's been 6 weeks now. Gosh, time is flying when you're having fun.
How is married life?
So far, so good. It's pretty solid. It's been good. I mean, we've been together for 3 years and we've been living together for like 2.5 of those. So nothing really changes that drastically. I was already wearing the ring because I was afraid I'd lose it otherwise. So literally, I've just kept doing what I was doing previously. But now I get to say wife.
I know, but isn't that like weird though still? Like, I don't know. I feel like I've heard from everyone that nothing really changes when you get married, but I just have this, like, there's just almost, like, some different weird feeling. It's almost like when you know it's, like, a birthday or, you know, it's a holiday. Like, there's, some, like, an air that's just different about the day.
For, like, the first, for the day, yeah. The
well,
day
no.
feels surreal.
No, not I'm not talking about the wedding day, but I just mean, like, you know, that, like, if there's something.
Like, your birthday feels special even though it's just another day.
Yeah. Whereas, I feel like, even though nothing changes, it's just another day, you're just married. I mean, not it's just another day, but, like, it's still
that's a very
it
expensive day.
Together. But
yeah, I get what you mean. Like the first 2 weeks, I'd have to we'd periodically be like, "Holy crap, we're married now."
Yeah.
But since then, now that we're not on the honeymoon and we're back staying in the US in a place that we've been before together, it just sort of feels it's just normal.
Yeah.
But definitely for the first couple of weeks, it would be like, "Whoa, we're married! Like we did that thing! Like we have a certificate and everything."
You're legally bound to me.
Yeah. I own her now. Well, actually, she tells me she owns me now. Is what she tells me.
Who cooked She's breakfast like, this morning?
So this morning, Rochelle made smoothies.
So she owes you. She owns you.
Yeah, she owns me, yeah. and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with being owned as long as it means I get smoothies and the occasional smashed avo.
Oh, smashed avo. I did not know what you said there for a second.
A
and I thought it was going to be something
sandwich.
Sexual.
Oh, no, like... smashed avo is not a... God, anything with the word smashed in it should not be a euphemism for sex. I feel like that would just be...
It kind
ouch.
Of is already, though.
Oh,
or
it's
drunk.
Smash, yeah.
Or
yeah,
drunk.
Yeah, smash.
Anyways. So
what's been up with you? Have you any romance in your life?
That's another conversation. okay. I did not get married.
Oh, well then. I guess I win.
Yeah, you do win on that front. So another reason, obviously you moved back to Australia for 6 weeks and in the meantime I moved to London.
And have a new job, which is pretty epic in itself.
I know. I have a full-time job working for a startup that I fucking love.
Oh, really? That's good.
Yeah, it's crazy working for a startup. Things are constantly changing, and it kind of, frustrates me sometimes. But everyone that I work with keeps telling me, this is the life of a startup. You gotta get used to it. You'll get used to it.
What is your role there exactly?
I am... the fancy title is Client Success Manager.
Ooh.
So basically we do hospitality tech. And so our sales guys sell it to bars, restaurants, cafes, hotels, chains, all sorts of stuff. We've even got a cleaning company, just anything that sort of, but the cleaning company works in pubs. So anything that requires checklists, and things like that, operations, tasks and compliance. And then issues management. So basically sales guys sell it to a hospitality sector of some sort, client. Okay. And then I'm in charge of, basically it's an accounts manager, keeping them happy, helping them out. It's a little bit of customer service, tech help in there as well, which I'm still very much learning because my background is super in hospitality. So I
can,
not
like, so much the tech side
I can
of it.
Understand what the client wants and I can understand why they want it and I can speak their language. But the tech stuff, I'm definitely still learning. But it's good. I really enjoy it. I love everyone I work with. I feel like an adult.
You feel like an adult. Well, being a grown-up's good. I like that. That's a good feeling. That's kind of how being married feels.
Yeah. But yeah, so I moved to London, got a job. I've got a flat, which I will warn you, because I have I have high ceilings in my room, and so I don't know how the sound quality is going to come out of this. So it might sound a little echoey. I'm sorry, guys. And I have three really big windows, and they're single pane, and I live on a high street. So we might hear an occasional siren or bus or something.
Oh, I did hear sirens before, and for some reason I forgot you weren't in California anymore. And I was like, oh, there's chaos in San Luis Obispo, but I guess it's chaos in London, which is probably
standard
as usual.
Yeah.
So how do you like living in London?
I mean, I lived here before. I've wanted to come back for 12 years. I fucking love it. I'm so happy.
Ringing endorsement.
Yeah, I'm so happy. I've got so many friends here already. It was a little bit of a struggle when I first got here. Finding a flat is hell, especially for the area I wanted to live and for my price range that I could afford. The first month I stayed with a friend, which kind of stretched our relationship a little thin, as it does.
Just a
tad. She lives above her pub and manages her pub, and it's a lot of partying, and I was starting a new job that was Monday through Friday. And so it kind of like wasn't the ideal situation, so I was trying to get out of there as soon as possible. But I absolutely love my flat now. I have a huge room on the high street near the river in Fulham. I live with two boys again, an Aussie guy and a British guy. So, and we get along great, and so that's always exciting. One of them actually works for Top Deck, the travel tour company, so maybe we'll have to have him on at some point.
That sounds like a plan.
Yeah. So yeah, it's been really good. It's been fun seeing my parents, but my mom just plans like every weekend we have things to do. Right. And I'm like, Mom, I love you. And I'm so happy that I'm here and I get to see you more often. But like, I also want to have a life in London and I only have 2 days off a week.
I get that. I mean, I'm sure it'll like ease off as you get sort of more settled in there. Cause like, I know for like when we visit here in the States, we're staying with Rochelle's folks. And the first few weeks, there's always a lot of things going on. Like, we just went to Vegas last week to see Rochelle's brother perform because he is in a band that was playing at the House of Blues. And we have plans for Thanksgiving and we had plans. Yeah, we do a lot. I feel like parents get excited that you're home and then after a while they're like, when are you leaving again?
Yeah.
Well, especially when you're staying with them. I mean, at least you've got a flat and you're like a grown up. We're just staying with the in-laws.
Yeah, no, it's nice. And like, she is an hour away, so.
Oh, okay. So there's some separation.
There's a little separation, church and state. But
are you church or state?
Definitely state. No fucking way I'm church. I'd burst into flames.
Yeah,
But yeah, I went to Budapest a couple weekends ago for a friend's birthday. Nice. That was fun. I'd never been there before. Loved the baths. Kind of felt like I was in human soup, but once you get past that part, where you just feel like
the
a dumpling
trick is not to
floating
drink it,
around.
Kate. I hope you know that.
I avoided that. I was drinking a shit ton though. I don't think I stopped drinking from like 6 p.m. heading to Gatwick Airport until 4 a.m. on Sunday after going out before our flight.
I forget that you can just do that in Europe, like
because you can drink
in Australia,
on the street.
You're going away for the weekend. You can't go overseas.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I know. Well, that's another reason why I love living in London is because it's so easy to go everywhere.
Well, we're going to visit you soon. We're coming over just after Christmas, so yeah. You can show us how to drink in London.
Oh, I will. I will. There's so much going on here for the Christmas stuff right now as well, which is so exciting. I went to some Christmas markets yesterday, which is kind of, I mean, I know it's like still early November and it's like...
Wow, yeah, they start early over there, but they don't have a Thanksgiving to... Like, I had this conversation with an American the other day who was, like, complaining that Christmas stuff was already up in the States.
Yeah.
But in Australia, that's totally normal because we don't have a Thanksgiving. So as soon as Halloween decorations come down, there's just this gap until Christmas. So,
yeah.
Of course, we start putting Christmas stuff out early.
Yeah, I was talking to my flatmate about that because, like, we don't really... I mean, Christmas stuff comes out, but no one really does any Christmas stuff till after Thanksgiving. That's, like, the next marker. But here, it's just as soon as Thanksgiving... I'm sorry, as soon as Halloween is over, then it's... Christmas time. which I fucking love Christmas, so I don't really care. But this weekend, actually, I know that Thanksgiving's not celebrated here, but I'm going to celebrate Thanksgiving with my family because having my mom here, who is American, we're not giving that up.
Oh, no. Hell no.
Which brings us to our topic today. We're very, very on the nose. we're going to be discussing holidays abroad.
Yeah, holidays abroad. Let's call it that.
I mean,
it's definitely like, we definitely didn't plan that.
either you celebrating holidays abroad, celebrating abroad holidays while home. Does that make sense?
Just holidays. I think that makes it a little less confusing. Holidays and travel. Let's
holidays
let's
in all different
that.
Countries.
Put a bow on it.
Yeah. So yeah. So, I mean, what I was just saying was like a perfect example. Like Thanksgiving, it's not celebrated here in the UK, obviously. And so it's honestly one of my favorite holidays though. And so like I've been in like 3 or 4 different countries. I've been in London, Prague, Australia, and Mexico.
Whoa.
For Thanksgiving.
I always find it funny. I've had multiple Americans ask me, like, why we don't celebrate Thanksgiving in Australia. And I'm like,
oh my God, they're fucking idiots.
We didn't have any pilgrims. I love the idea of the holiday, though. I really do. I wish we had an equivalent holiday about being thankful for everything.
Yeah.
And there's this big gap on the Australian calendar, like, in the, from like Easter through till Halloween almost, except for Anzac Day. I think it'd be perfect. I've been dreaming of pioneering Australian Thanksgiving forever, but so far I've had no joy.
Well, and also, like, part of the reason I love it so much, and I love celebrating it even, like, wherever, and like, my friends here, one's Australian and one's Swedish, and it's the girls that I was friends with in New York, and they were so happy when I moved over here, because they're like, oh my God, we get to celebrate Thanksgiving again, because they loved it. I'm like, you guys can celebrate it even if you're not in America and you're not with an American. Like, just have a day where you just cook a shit ton of really delicious food and drink a bunch of wine and eat pie and be thankful for things and just spend time with friends. And I think that's why I like it more than, like, Christmas Day. Because Christmas, everyone's, like, excited about... I feel like Christmas is definitely more of a family holiday and it's about, like, giving and receiving gifts and, like, Santa and, like, all of that stuff. Whereas Thanksgiving is more, for me, like, yes, family, but also, like, friends.
Yeah,
so I've had
I
a lot of,
like
Friendsgivings.
Yeah, we fold in a lot of the, like, the big meal you have at Thanksgiving. That really sort of becomes the Christmas meal. At least in my house, we have this massive spread for Christmas Day. But I would feel weird having friends there for Christmas Day. And we do. We have, like, family friends or friends we know haven't got family around come around for Christmas lunch. But because I grew up with it as a family holiday, it always feels weirdly like it's, like, it creates this separation between like actual Christmas in the morning and the weird social stuff we do in the afternoon.
Yeah.
But I'm excited because this is my first Thanksgiving in the US.
Is it really?
Yeah. We did a Thanksgiving in Australia last year and then we did like a belated Thanksgiving when we got here in like, when did we even get here? After Christmas. So this year
you did a Thanksgiving in January.
Yeah. We did Thanksgiving and Christmas in January for the US fam. So this year though, we're doing Thanksgiving here, over in LA. We're going to head over to a family friends and then Christmas we're doing in Seattle. So, it's going to be good. I've never done either of those holidays in the US.
Really?
Yeah. I've done Halloween and 4th of July.
Well, I mean, Halloween and 4th of July are like, you want to be in the States.
Yeah, they do the. You guys do them right. I mean, well, 4th of July, you're the only ones. But Halloween, you guys definitely kick it up a notch compared to the rest of the world. Australia's catching up. There's still a lot of pushback, because they don't like that it's an American holiday.
Yeah.
But you get more kids trick-or-treating every year. It's becoming more of a thing. When I grew up, it was nothing. Like, trick-or-treating barely existed, and it was a chance to dress up as a secret agent or a slutty nurse. Or both.
Those are always the only two options. Yeah, that's my Halloween has definitely become like a much bigger thing in the UK, and I don't know if maybe it's just more London, but London loves any reason to like party. So I see a lot for, and I feel like also with things like 4th of July or like Canada Day or Australia Day, if you're in bigger cities, you can always find stuff that's going on.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely.
Because I've done there's always a hub.
All over the place.
Yeah, because there's always a hub of like that sort of even like Super Bowl, which is it. I mean, it's fucking national holiday in America, but it's not a recognized holiday around the world. But I've done Super Bowl in the UK and in Australia, and it was like get up super early, or it was super late and drink a shit ton and find some American bar, and there's always like a ton of Americans there celebrating, and mm-hmm. you eat like chicken wings and jalapeno poppers and all of that shitty American man. Food that's so delicious. And it's fun. Like, yeah. I mean, I just like a reason to celebrate anything. It makes the day more exciting than any other day.
Yeah. No, I think it's always possible. I mean, if you're in a moderately sized city or larger, it's usually possible to find something. Like, I mean, I've been in cities in China, like cities of 9 million that don't have an expat community, where it would have been impossible. Like, I was in a town where there were only 4 foreigners.
Yeah.
So, like, it would have been hard to put together a Thanksgiving or a Christmas thing there. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I've done Christmas in Korea. I've done 2 Christmases in China, a Christmas in New Zealand. So I've done a fair few of those abroad. And for me, like you said, Thanksgiving is your favorite holiday. For me, it's Christmas. Like, my family has such an entrenched set of traditions that mm-hmm. start on like the day before, like Christmas Eve, and don't finish till the end of Boxing Day. Yeah. So we have this 3-day like festival almost, and it's food and songs and giving gifts and even everything down to just like the watching of DVDs, eating leftovers on Christmas night is sort of become tradition.
Yeah.
So for me, it's always really hard to be away for Christmas. And especially actually my first trip abroad, when I moved to South Korea in 2007, never having been on a plane, I arrived in late November, so I had a month till Christmas, and in that time I hadn't made a lot of friends yet. I hadn't really figured it out yet. And I remember Christmas morning, my mum had made this huge care package and mailed it over to me at great expense.
No.
So I had a little Christmas tree, and I had a whole bunch of Christmas
foods. Oh my
god,
I had a tree?
Yeah, she sent like this tiny little like knee-high tree.
Oh my god!
Now that I'm older, I know that she probably dropped like $400 or $500 on postage. So this
yeah.
is not true. And it had, there was one for food, one for tree and decorations, and one for presents. And the plan had been that I would get up at like 5 a.m. so I could Skype them and
yeah.
watch them open presents. And then about an hour before I was supposed to Skype them, my computer just died. Like, it was like the one that came with the apartment. It just stopped working.
Yeah.
So I couldn't Skype them. They called me, but it's not the same. You know, you're not really there.
Yeah.
So I remember like opening my presents, and two of them were computer games that I no longer could play. And I was like really bummed, so I went to like a PC room, which is like an internet cafe,
yeah,
and spent some time there. And the only thing that saved that Christmas for me was at like 4 p.m., just as I was about to leave the internet cafe, a guy I'd met at a bar like a week earlier was like, "Hey, what are you doing, Bushy? A bunch of us are going to go to Outback Steakhouse for dinner tonight." And not the most festive thing ever, but a bunch of us sort of guys who didn't really know each other very well but had only just arrived, 6 or 7 of us went to Outback Steakhouse in ugly sweaters on a snowy night and had this dinner
together.
Where
is this at? In South Korea.
In South Korea, yeah.
Yeah.
And now we're all still friends. Like, that's what molded us into a group,
yeah.
is that we had this miserable Christmas. And my mom hates that I call it miserable, and it was not because of anything she did or didn't
yeah,
do.
Yeah, of course.
Just it was bad luck and distance.
Yeah.
But that was, like, that made me love the expat scene, was just all these people just bringing me in and being like, "Hey, you're alone too. Let's have a great time." And
yeah.
we stayed friends for the next 2 or 3 years. Some of them are going to be at my wedding next year, my second wedding. So holidays
bastard.
Abroad can be a really good bonding experience.
Oh, for sure. I know I said that Thanksgiving is my favorite day. And it is when I'm at home. Well, no, even if I'm abroad. But, like, Christmas time is my favorite time. But because
yeah.
Christmas is, like, I love, like, I've already gone to the Christmas market and South Bank in London twice, and it just opened on Friday. Like,
is it all, like, is it all decorated and
yeah.
playing carols all
and
the
it
time?
And it has all the little, like, fake lodges that are selling, like, little gifts
oh,
and, like, food.
Man.
And I drank my, like, body weight in glog last night.
Oh, that
and
sounds so good.
Sat around a fire and had, oh my god, the best thing ever invented. A roast turkey dinner wrapped in a Yorkshire pudding and eaten like a burrito.
That, I mean, it sounds amazing, and it also sounds like it's like a million calories.
I don't even care. Honestly, it's the best thing I've put in my mouth in a really long time.
Oh, I've always wanted to go to a Christmas market, and we're going to get to the UK the day after Christmas.
They usually... No. They usually last until January. So you're probably good.
Oh, good. I really want to go to one.
Yeah, they don't take it... They don't break anything down until after January 1st. So all of the, like...
Perfect.
All of the, like, skating rinks and stuff will still be going and all that stuff. But Christmas is, like, one that... You do tend to feel... Like, Thanksgiving... I think because Christmas is celebrated all over the world, that, like, Thanksgiving, I don't feel as lonely because it's just an American tradition, so you can kind of get over that mentally when you're in another country and it's not, you're not really doing anything. Although, I'm
that's
usually,
true.
Like...
That's true. You can put it out of your mind.
Yeah, and I'm... But although I am normally the person that's, like, I will organize something. But, like, even, like, this Thanksgiving, like, I'm going to be at work. And I'll probably go get like a roast turkey sandwich for lunch, the Christmas sandwich from Pret that has stuffing and cranberry in it, and that will be my. But we're celebrating Thanksgiving this weekend, and it'll feel like Thanksgiving this weekend because we'll have all of the food and we'll have all the friends and all the drinking and stuff. But Christmas is one that, like, because you know it's celebrated all over the world and everyone's celebrating it.
It's like rubbed in your face almost. You're alone.
Yeah.
You're away from your people. Here's some decorations. Here's Mariah Carey.
Well, honestly, one of my worst ones. So Mexico wasn't as bad. So I was working at the hostel, and it's hot, which is, like, not what I'm used to for Christmas, but I had to work the morning shift from 7 to 3, so it was fun in the morning because everyone was waking up at the hostel, and I was like, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas! Like, I'm the first person that everyone sees in the morning, and I was wearing my little, like, reindeer antlers and, like, being all excited, and everyone was having breakfast, and we were all, like, wishing each other Merry Christmas, but then everyone goes to the beach for the day. And they came back with all of these pictures and all of them had Santa hats on and they all, like, celebrated Christmas at the beach. And, like, I sat at the hostel by myself, like, checking, like, one or two guests in. And it was so lonely, like, just sitting at this hostel by myself on Christmas, knowing that everybody at the hostel was at the beach having fun. But it ended up being fine because, like, when everyone came back and I was off for the evening, we did, like, this thing at the hostel, which I think is a genius idea. You didn't have to participate if you didn't want to, but basically you had to go buy a gift for like 100 pesos and then wrap it. And then you got to put it in this big like Santa sack that we bought.
Oh, nice.
And then if you were one of the people that bought the gift, then we did this like thing, like we draw your name in a hat and then you go and like grab something out of the thing and then you open it. So like, it was kind of like this white elephant sort of gift exchange thing for people
that's
that cute. Participated. And honestly, like 100 pesos is like $5. So most people participate.
Oh, that sounds really nice.
Yeah, so that was fun. And then we had a potluck dinner that night, and then everybody was asked to, like, if they could participate in the potluck to make as close as they could to a dish that would be, like, a traditional Christmas gift at home. And so we had people make, like the shrimp paella thing. We had fondue that some, like, Swiss people made. We had, like, the most random mix of food, but it was delicious. And that's the, like, that was so much fun in the evening. And everyone's like, because everyone there is without their friend, like their family.
Yeah.
And so you
sort of become
this,
surrogate family.
Oh, for sure. And there's people that like, I like, we're still friends and we talk about that day often. But the harder one for me is when you don't. So like my actually hardest Christmas was in New York. And so I'm in America.
Yeah.
But because my parents are actually in the UK, and my family are in California, I was actually by myself. And I had friends there, and we all planned to have Christmas. And my friends were from other countries, so they were on their own. But one of them was married, so she had her husband in the morning, and they wanted to do Christmas morning together. And then the other one had her sister visiting from Sweden, and so they wanted to have Christmas morning together. And then, so I remember waking up in the morning, and like, it was in my house alone because both my flatmates went back to Connecticut to visit their families.
Oh.
And like waking up alone on Christmas has to be the most morbid, one of the most morbid feelings in the world. I was
I can
sad.
Relate 100%.
Immediately like burst into tears, called my mom. And you know, with all of the fun traditions that everyone has, like they're 8 hours, or they were 5 hours ahead, but they were like getting ready for dinner. They were all having fun. I was getting passed around to everyone. And it was just making me feel worse because I couldn't be there.
That's exactly how I felt in Korea, like having people being like, wait, I gotta give the phone away, I'm opening a present. And I'd just be like, I think I'm just gonna go.
Yeah. Like, not that I don't love you guys, but this is just fucking torture.
On the flip side of that, I got to have one really fantastic Christmas abroad because I was living in China and I'd had one terrible one already. But my brother and his partner lived in Nanjing as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually got together. I spent the night at their house the night before, and
yeah.
we decorated it. And I actually found a company in Shanghai that would ship a turkey, like pre-cooked turkey. And all the fixings, like sweet potatoes and all the other stuff, from Shanghai to Nanjing, like an hour away.
Brilliant.
And all I had to do on the day was pop it in an oven. Yeah, and I just popped it in the oven on the day to reheat it a little bit. We had nice beer. We exchanged gifts. Mum and Dad Skyped in. It was almost as good as being home. And the only hard part was at the end of the day, at like 5, 6 p.m., I had to be up at 6 the next morning. So I knew I couldn't spend the night again.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to do goodbyes. And I went back to my apartment on my own, being all bummed. And then they messaged me a while later, being like, "Yeah, we both cried after you left because it was just really sad." But I don't know about you. I get this mad, like, Christmas night depression. And my brother does too. We get so hyped for Christmas. My brother Dom and I will spend the entire month of December decorating, going on, like, multiple shopping trips.
Oh, yeah, I'm like that.
Prepping recipes. So Christmas night, once it's all done,
mm-hmm.
we just feel, like, kind of empty. And that actually ties back to the wedding a little bit. The night of the wedding, obviously, is a very exciting, fun night. But at the end of it, when we're in bed, getting ready to go to sleep, you're suddenly like, what do we do now?
Yeah.
Like, this has been all we've been thinking about for 18 months and planning and stressing. And suddenly we're like, oh, now we're done and we're leaving. We're not going to see these people for a year.
Yeah.
Holy crap. It was a weird, like,
melancholy
feeling,
like,
to have.
Bittersweet.
Yeah.
Well, but going back to, like, we were talking about July 4th, which, like, is it, again, because it's an American holiday, like, it is kind of hard being somewhere that's, like, not celebrating it, but then you're not really, like, sometimes you can forget it's even a fucking holiday, which I've done a couple
times.
Same
with Australia Day for me.
But like, I was going to say, but, like, Australia Day, like, have you ever had moments where you're just, like... Well, have you ever had good Australia days abroad?
Oh, yeah. I mean, for one thing, like, for people who aren't Australian, Australia Day is not nearly as big as 4th of July. We sort of, Australia and the idea of being, like, fiercely patriotic are sort of conflicting. Like, on one hand, we're very proud to be Australian, but then we find it weird to celebrate that. And especially
because...
Well, and
because the story behind Australia Day is kind of like our story behind Thanksgiving.
Yeah, Australia Day's got a really... I don't celebrate it myself anymore for this exact reason, in that it celebrates the day that European settlement started rather than celebrating Australia as a nation as it is now.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not pretty much from that sort of that period, if your ancestors aren't from that period of Australian history, you're not really included. And that's not just Indigenous Australians, who obviously have a lot of reason to mourn that day,
mm-hmm.
but even later immigrants, like the Greek and Italian immigrants who came in the early 20th century, all the way to like Vietnamese, Chinese, Korean, everything. It really only celebrates like white Australia, which to me is on the nose. But with that being said, when you're abroad, I feel like I celebrate it more abroad than I have at home because you get a bunch of Aussies together.
Yeah, that's what I was leading to. So like I feel, because I know the history behind Australia Day, for anyone that doesn't know, like, it does celebrate basically coming and...
Just wait for the murder mobile to go
by. Yeah, sorry, can you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
All right, it's done.
Okay.
So, I mean, could you briefly say in like one sentence what Australia Day is like the celebration of for people that don't know?
Yeah, so January 26th is the day that the settlement was founded, essentially. The settlement of Sydney, well, at the time, whatever they wanted to call it, but now Sydney. So, I mean,
but the, it
celebrates
like there's a
colonialism.
Bunch of, yeah, indigenous people that were wiped out because of it, right?
Yeah, basically, I mean, Australia has its own indigenous population, sometimes called Aboriginals, although Indigenous Australian is, I think, the more correct term now. But essentially, yeah, the British came in and just committed this systematic genocide.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say, like, I'd love to be able to say it was like a thing that happened in the deep, dark past, but right up until the middle of the 20th century, we were still taking Aboriginal kids away from them because we thought it would be better for the kids to be raised in like a real white home. Like, so the stolen generation is what they're referred to. They're still alive today.
Yeah.
And some of them have been reunited with their families. Some never got to be. And we only apologized for this kind of thing in, I think, 2008. And it hasn't fixed anything. Like, Australian Indigenous Aboriginals are still very much marginalised, and so they don't really love the idea of celebrating literally the day that marks when it all started to fall apart for them.
Yeah.
And the other side, like a lot of white Australians are like, well, it's always been January 26th, but it hasn't been. It only became a national holiday in the 80s. So, I mean, it wouldn't be hard to change the date, and people often suggest alternate dates, whether they're other historic dates, or even someone suggested May 8th, because mate.
Yeah, that is great.
I would literally be happy to celebrate it on any other day, because it's like, these people are like, this day makes us really sad.
Yeah.
Could you not move it? And we're like, oh, we like it.
People
and
don't like that change.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. It's like, we'd have to change a whole bunch of traditions that have existed for 20 years.
Yeah. But on the other side, which we were kind of leading to, and it was a question that I was going to ask you, is like, however, when you are abroad and it's Australia Day, like, it is a day that kind of makes you feel a little patriotic about, because like, you're at home and then you meet up with other Aussies.
Yeah.
And you kind of, I assume, like, bond over fucking Vegemite and...
Our love of Vegemite and the Queen. I think Australia Day and also Anzac Day, which is kind of like our Memorial Day but turned up to 11. That's another big one, and I've actually had more memorable experiences commemorating that abroad. I've been in a crowded bar in China with like 12 other Aussies, and one of them's pulled out their bugle, which obviously they brought for the occasion, they don't just carry it with them, and he played the last post, and then I read the Ode to Remembrance, and we observed a minute's silence in this crowded Chinese bar. And that, to me, I think is I have more emotional connection to Anzac Day, which commemorates the Australian and New Zealand soldiers who died primarily in World War One, but now it's sort of more like Veterans Day or Memorial Day.
Yeah,
me is a better Australian holiday.
Absolutely.
Because it celebrates and commemorates and like mourns.
And honours.
And honours. Whereas Australia Day is kind of like dickheads wearing Australian flags as capes and running around drinking. And it's kind of like...
BBs. Yeah,
it gets a bit... Yeah, it's a little cringy.
Yeah.
And I'm sure a lot of Australians listening will be upset at me for saying that, but... Seriously, change.
I don't know. I think you'd be surprised, because I know a lot of people who have been like, have been totally up for changing the date of it. I really love the idea of May 8th.
Dude, I mean, that the is only issue with May is genius. The weather, but it's still decent for most of the country. It's not like the US where we have months of like snow at some point in the year. May is still relatively pleasant.
Yeah.
I guess what all of this ties back into, and I want to try and bring it in, is these are all holidays we're celebrating abroad. So, for people who are listening, how do you think it's best to make a holiday abroad fun rather than sad? Like, what are some tricks and tips you could give from your experience to sort of making the holidays bearable while you're abroad?
Well, for me, and, like, I'm someone that loves... I mean, I'm, like, I love to host a party. I love to, like... I love anything that brings people together to eat and drink, and I'm all about the social occasions. But for me, it's always either A, like, find your people... So, like, if it's July 4th, like, I look for, like, there's so many, especially if you're a bigger city, but there's so many, like, meetup sort of sites or forums or Facebook groups or whatever, and you can find events going on with other people, like, with other, you know, if it's an American holiday, other Americans that are celebrating it, and you bring your friends or whatever. And then, also, like, if you are the only one, like, share your holiday, because there's a lot of other people that... with like the number of people I've like told about Thanksgiving, experienced Thanksgiving with, like, they love it and they're not American, but they like the idea of cooking a bunch of food and drinking and being thankful for things. And
yeah, I mean, it's a pretty perfect bonding holiday aside from its history.
Yeah.
It's a great holiday. Yeah.
So those are my like biggest tips.
I think I was done. I was going to say, my one for Christmas specifically, because it's very emotional for a lot of people, is I've found either the best way I've done it is either to go all in, so like to cook a dinner and organize a thing and decorate, or go the other way and just do nothing. Those are the two I found that make it bearable. Like, one year I just went to the beach.
I couldn't imagine doing nothing, though.
Well, it's easier in Asia, because like obviously in China and South Korea, there's decorations up, but Christmas isn't a traditional holiday there. So like businesses are still open.
Yeah.
Which I remember being mortally offended by on my first day, my first Christmas in Korea. Like, why is this bakery open? Why is this person still selling fruit? But I had an easy time one year. I was in China. We just flew to this island in the south of China called Hainan, which is just a beachy island. Basically, Chinese people and Russians, so no Christmas celebrations. And that made it a little more bearable because there was no reminders that it was Christmas. There was nothing. We didn't have to do anything Christmassy. I definitely preferred going all in, but the other alternative is to go all out and save it or do it early or later. Those are my tips, but I definitely prefer to go all in, do as much as I can to make it happen.
Yeah. I I'm a full on all in person. I will decorate. I will even making fucking cutting a tree out of paper, using palm branches to make the shape of a tree on a wall. I've done some crazy shit. I also really appreciate when other people recognize that it's not their holiday, but it's something for you and go out of their way. I remember when I was in Australia, the only other American that I was friends with in the hostel had to work that night.
Mm.
And I was it's the 4th of July. I want to see some fire. And I knew there were fireworks going on in Melbourne. And so I just remember my friend Dan and I think Dory, sorry, I'm just hearing the clinking of my wine. I'm drinking red wine and eating chocolate orange right now because we're talking about holidays and this is such a Christmassy thing to me.
Coffee and a healthy protein smoothie.
Oh, boo.
Time zone.
And so I remember they took me to, I can't remember the name of it. Dan, Dorian, and I think there was another friend with me and I can't remember who it was, but they took me to this very American restaurant and we had hot dogs.
Yeah.
Loaded up hot dogs with all of the fixings. And then walked to some part of the river that had fireworks and watched the fireworks. And I was they went out of their way to make it feel as close to American 4th of July that they could. And it wasn't it didn't feel the same, obviously, because no one around me was celebrating. There weren't big barbecues going on and things like that. And it's also because it's July. It's cold as fuck in Melbourne. That part definitely didn't feel like 4th of July.
So
people that recognize it's important to you and then them going out of their way, that's very, very kind and very sweet. So if you know it's a holiday for somebody else and going out of your way to make it special or feel like that holiday for them is a really good thing to try and do.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, I have a similar story. It wasn't a holiday as much. It was my birthday, but it was the week I arrived in South Korea. So I'd been there 5 days. And obviously, I didn't know anyone, but this guy I went to high school with lived in Seoul. And we weren't friends in high school. In fact, we were almost enemies. Pretty much all we said to each other were nasty things.
Mm-hmm.
But he saw I'd moved to Korea, and I don't even know why he did this, and I'm so glad he did. He traveled down, 3 hours on the train to Gwangju, and he brought two friends with him, and he took me out. We had dinner. He at midnight, just because it was December 1st, my birthday's the 2nd, at midnight, he's like, "What wish would you have made for your birthday?" And as I was thinking about it, the girls came back from this market they'd run to, and they had poppers and cigars, and they made my birthday a really special occasion. But what it really did for me was, I became friends with him, but I had no idea there was even a nightlife in the town I lived in because I was in the suburbs.
Yeah.
And so because of him, I met friends who I've been friends with for, God, what has it been? 12 years.
Yeah.
All because of that gesture he made. And he didn't need to because I was never nice to him in high school and he wasn't very nice to me.
Yeah.
But it's those little gestures can really forge a lifelong friendship. And that was it wasn't a holiday, but to me it was really important because I'd been there 5 days. I was terrified.
Mm-hmm.
So to have that was really special for me. And I'm sure your Thanksgiving was similar to that. Yeah.
Emotional. Luckily, we all grow up and, people change and little gestures can go a long way. Especially when it comes to holidays because everyone is so sensitive around the holidays. And it is a very emotional time no matter what holiday it is. I mean, maybe not St. Patrick's Day and shit like that.
Hey, I don't know about you. I get choked up every St. Patrick's Day.
So emotional.
I see a green beer and it just...
Yeah, that's what actually we haven't even talked about yet. I did St. Patrick's Day in Dublin at Temple Bar.
Oh, Lord.
And that was just like, it was so much fun, but it was all Americans and Canadians. Like, it was
yeah,
no
I was about to say,
Irish
the holiday's
people
really just
around.
Yeah.
It was all backpackers, Americans, Australians, Canadians, like everyone just drinking shit ton of green beer and Guinness and dressed all in green and, you know, puking in the street.
That transitions us nicely though, because I know you wanted to talk about celebrating like local holidays in that country. Now, in this case, it wasn't particularly local, but have you had the, like, have you experienced a holiday that's specific to a place while you were there, like
Australia Day in Australia, even though
we've
concluded that that's not a very good holiday. But I actually I think I did it, and I was totally what, like, my friend, so I was living with a friend in Sydney, and it was me, her, and our British friend, and we had tickets to Big Day Out Music Festival. So
nice.
It was a music festival on Australia Day, so obviously everyone, I had a t-shirt that said G'day, and I had Australian flag tattoos all over my face, and I feel like we had wigs or something, I can't even remember. And we went to Scruffy Murphy's.
Oh wow, you went down and dirty.
At like 7 a.m. to get breakfast before the concert. God. And like fully decked out, and everyone knocking on the streets even that early in the morning are all in like red and blue and Australian flags and all that stuff. And we didn't end up even ordering breakfast. We just ordered pitchers of like jugs and jugs of beer.
Oh, I'm sorry. Not pints. The next one.
No, yeah, sorry.
Bigger one.
The jugs. I just got so drunk and then went to a music festival, and on it, like, we had the best time. And I think, well, honestly, but it was a kind of a fun thing for me, because when I lived in Prague with my Australian friend Gethin, he used to play Australian hip hop all the time.
Mm.
And so,
like Hilltop Hoods and stuff?
Yep, Hilltop Hoods and Bliss and Esso.
Oh,
were like
nice.
The two major ones, who I love both of those now because of him. And
I remember you losing your mind when I put Cosby Sweater on in your car.
Yes!
When you were doing that wine day.
When I was moving to Australia, which was in end of December, so it was just before
like a month out.
Yeah,
from
a month out from Australia Day. So I used to always listen to the song Eye of the Storm by Bliss and Esso. Because all of the lyrics are just so, like, traditional Aussie life to me. Like, just what I imagined it was going to be like when I lived in Australia. So I listened to that song, and that was, like, my anthem for moving to Australia.
Nice.
And Bliss and Esso were playing at Big Day Out.
Oh, that's perfect.
And they were playing at the same time as some other, like, major international star, like, sort of band. But I remember being like, there's no fucking way in hell that I'm going to be in Australia on Australia Day not watching Bliss and Esso, who have been like my anthem of getting me psyched to move to Australia, and just around and then surrounded by a bunch of Australians. And like, I knew every word to every song. I was actually super pissed though, because they didn't play Eye of the Storm, but it was a great performance. And like, that was just like, I felt like I was almost Australian.
Oh, that's perfect. I haven't had an experience like that. Sorry, you had something
I was just going to say, I think that's the only one, only holiday I can think of that I've spent in the country of the holiday, besides St. Paddy's Day, but it didn't feel like it when...
Didn't feel right. I did 4th of July in the States on Long Beach in Miami. So that was fun, but it was like, I was with a girl I was dating, so it wasn't like a big wild party. It was like us being on the periphery of a wild party.
Mm-hmm.
But I have been, obviously I lived in Korea for 2.5 years and China for 2.5, so I've been there for a lot of their holidays.
Mm-hmm.
The weird thing with a lot of their holidays is though that because they, like, especially in China, because people work so hard, when they have these holidays like Spring Festival or National Week, they leave. Like, it's not, they don't do like a cool traditional thing at home. They like either go back to their home village, like wherever their parents are from, or they leave the country altogether. So like Beijing would become a ghost town. And I know that sounds weird because it's a city of like 28 million people, but like everything is closed. You can't get food delivered. Like, all the restaurants on your street will just be boarded up because everyone's gone home. It's really weird. So it's like a great time to explore your city, but every major tourist attraction is going to be crowded to hell.
Yeah.
And nothing's open. But there are some fun traditions, more like that you, like, go, like working there, you would get gifts from your school, you know, leading up to whatever the holiday might be. So it might be, Koreans were big on giving you fruit, like big boxes of apples or weirdly enough, rolls of toilet paper.
What's that toothpaste. For?
So the thing in Korea is, and I actually kind of like this, when they give you a gift, they give you stuff you need so that you can spend your money on the things you want. So like my boss would give me a massive thing of toilet paper and like toothpaste. And I'd be like, cool. But that meant I didn't have to buy toilet paper or toothpaste, which meant I could buy like extra beer at the bar or whatever it was that made me happy. So I kind of dig that. It's not as much fun, but like who knows you better than you? You know, like you know what you want to buy. And as you're, as an adult, let's be honest, you're going to just buy it anyway. So I kind of like the idea of giving gifts of practical things that might not be exciting to open.
Yeah.
But it means you don't have to go out and get them yourself and you can just buy things you like because you know what you like better than they're going to know.
Yeah.
But
then you always have that thought of like, you're not putting any thought into my gift. You're just giving me
it money. Definitely felt a little bit that way, but that's just, that's tradition. So I had to sort of push that aside.
Yeah.
And in China, it's mooncakes. Have you ever had a mooncake?
No, I can't say I have.
I don't even know how to fully describe them. It's a cake, obviously, but it's not super sweet, and it has, usually it has, like, a whole egg in it.
Cooked?
Inside of it, and, like, yeah, cooked, yeah.
Like, hard-boiled sort of thing, or, like...
Kind of, I mean, obviously shelled, so you're not chewing. It's kind of like a salted, I don't know, I'm doing a horrible job of describing them, because I'm not a huge fan, but they give you these, like, these mooncakes for the holiday. And they're one's okay, but if you look at the calorie breakdown for them, like, a mooncake is equivalent to, like, half a pizza or two Big Macs. And it's just, like, I'd rather have the two Big Macs.
For those of you listening, I'll find a picture of a mooncake and I'll post it on our story so that you guys can see what this is.
You can see it for yourselves. But, yeah, so my experience celebrating, like, local holidays in China and Korea hasn't been being a part of them because they're very much family things.
Mm-hmm.
But I've sort of been on the periphery and sort of experienced at least some of the gift-giving culture. Or, yeah, I feel like I've missed out on a lot of them. I've had more luck celebrating, like, one country's holiday in another country with them. Like, when I lived in Sydney, I had this friend from Peru. And she's like, hey, we're celebrating Fiestas Patrias, which is, like, it's, like, their national day. Do you want to come to this like beach barbecue?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I was going to say no to that.
I mean, she was cute. I had a crush on her. So I was like, yes, I will come. And it was an awesome day. There was like me, this one like white Aussie dude, and like every Peruvian in town, it seemed like. No, not Peruvian. God damn, I'm going to get in trouble. Chilean. Peru came up a lot that day because those two countries, I believe, are the ones who fight over who invented Pisco. Here, we're going to edit this out if I'm
so
wrong.
So you're going to start another war.
It's, yeah, so Peru and Chile both claim that they invented Pisco, which is a fantastic, like, Peruvian, like, alcohol spirit, liqueur.
Mm-hmm.
And a Pisco sour is the bomb.
Yeah, they
but
are really
on
good.
That day, they were telling me, all these Chileans are telling me how they hate Peru because Peruvians try and claim Pisco. But it was a wild day. We drank, we ate, like, delicious, like barbecue. We sang songs that I don't know the words to because I don't speak Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a really fun holiday, and it's kind of like what you experienced, I guess, with St. Patrick's Day, except there were no Irish people there.
But almost the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, the bartender was probably Irish and just going, oh, these motherfuckers.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking, like, when I did the Camino in Spain, I seemed to always land in a major city while there was some sort of local holiday going on, but I never knew what the holiday or the celebration was. So like,
did you celebrate anyway?
It was a little bit annoying because everything was always shut. So like, when you get there, that's normally when you go to the store and get stuff for food, or like if you want to go to a laundromat or something because like you've been washing, like in between the major cities, you wash your clothes that you wear every single day in
that
the sink
sense.
And hang it. And so when you get to the major cities, it's like when you want to go to a laundromat and wash them properly. And then everything was always fucking closed when we got to the big cities. But it was fun because there's always, like, these big parades down the street. And there's, like, barbecues and parties going on in the park. And, like, that was always a really fun thing. But I never knew. I remember seeing this group of people. And I think I still have a video of it somewhere. If I do, I'll share it. But I have a video of, like, this group of Spanish guys doing a beer bong with a bottle of red wine.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And I remember watching it being, like... I know Americans invented beer bongs and we think we're tough as shit or stupid as shit for inventing something like that and drinking. But like Spain totally just won us up by doing beer bongs of red wine.
I have heartburn just thinking about that.
But there's one other thing that I actually just remembered, and I had to Google it because I couldn't exactly remember what the context of it was. But when I lived in Prague, this isn't exactly a holiday because it can be celebrated every single day, but they have name days. So there is
like
a calendar.
Like a birthday in Game of Thrones?
I don't know. I think so.
That's what in Game of Thrones they call birthdays name days.
Oh, well, no. So birthdays and name days are different, but that's probably where they got it from. Oh. So they're slightly less important than birthdays, but they're celebrated like similar. So like people give you gifts or like celebrate you because, or they like, or you group people together that have like, if you know, cause well, that's the other thing is that everyone in like Prague, especially was named like all the guys were named like Tomasz and Peter.
Oh, it's like specific to a specific name.
Yeah, so every day of the year has a name assigned to it.
Holy shit, that's amazing.
In the olden days, parents were not allowed to just choose any name for their kid. They had to pick a name from the calendar, which is why a lot of people...
So they got 365
names to choose from. Well, no, but you can't... any days that have national holidays don't have a name day tied to it.
Okay.
So if it's not a national holiday, it is someone's name day. And so...
Damn.
This is why there's a lot of names that, like, everyone's named Tomasz, and everyone's named Petra, and everyone's named Clara.
Wow.
Because they only had, you know, probably, like, 355 names to choose from. but, so you group them together and, like, celebrate everyone in your life named Clara that day.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, but they don't,
so now...
apparently it's not as popular anymore, but I do remember people, like, my Czech friends being like, oh, it's my name day today! Like, let's go out and drink. Let's, like, you have to buy me a gift.
That's awesome. So I was thinking, though, like, I imagine they're not restricting who's named what now. So I guess if your parents choose one of the non-prescribed names, you just don't have a name day party?
Yeah. I think, and even when I was there, I was like, I'm going to find a name that's, like, the most similar to mine. And I remember, like, making my Czech friends being like, okay, my name is Caitlin. Kind of like Kate. Is there a Kate name day? Like, is there, like, give me some sort of name that's very similar to Caitlin. And I can't remember what they ended up choosing, but I, like, made myself have a name day because I wanted one.
Nice.
But that was always, oh, that was awesome. Always a fun one. Something that was, like, very, you know, special to the Czech Republic. And it could have been, like, multiple times a year that you would have people celebrating around you.
That's really cool. I like that.
Yeah. One other one that I wanted to talk about, which this is like kind of flipping everything around, is celebrating a non-localized holiday.
Okay.
So a foreign holiday in a foreign place.
Isn't that what we started with?
Well, no, a foreign...
Like doing...
So like when I lived in New York, and this kind of goes back to what I was saying, like if you know people that are from another country that have a holiday, like make it feel special for them. So when I lived in New York, I celebrated Midsummer, which is not something that is a U.S. state, a U.S. holiday.
So like me celebrating Chilean Independence Day in Sydney.
Right? Yes, yes.
Yes, okay, yeah. Cool. As long as I'm on the same page. So Midsummer, I assume that's in the middle of summer.
Yeah, Midsummer. I can't say it with
I wasn't sure.
I can't say it with a Slavic. It's not Slavic. Scandinavian accent. But basically, two of my friends in New York were Swedish. And so they were like, oh, it's Midsummer. Like, we have to do something. And they do something really big at Battery Park. You make, like, you buy loads of flowers and you make flower crowns. And they have tables of, like, people selling flowers so you can make flower crowns or pre-made ones. Everyone makes and is wearing flower crowns, even the guys. Everyone's all dressed up. You like, it's like a, it was like this huge picnic of like 500 Scandinavian people.
That's like the most beautiful picnic ever.
I know. Just except I'm there with like crowns. Super dark hair. Everyone else around me is blonde. And they drink a shit ton of schnapps, which is like their version of, you know, grappa or ouzo or whatever the local strong liquor
is. My Slovenian boss prescribes schnapps for everything.
Yeah.
Headache schnapps, cold schnapps, food poisoning schnapps.
And there's like songs that you sing along to it or like little chants that you sing every time before you take a shot of schnapps. And I can't remember. I feel like there was like definitely snacks that were particular to that. And then it was so
fun. I feel
like
the thing that binds all of these holidays together is the excessive
food
consumption of alcohol.
Yeah. That's why I love the holidays. Because then you have an excuse to do it, at least. You're not just an alcoholic.
Yeah, you're not an alcoholic if you're celebrating.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I agree.
But they had the, like, May pole and all the women, like, dancing around the pole with the ribbons and all of that stuff. And then you, like, all run all run out. And there's, like, songs that they sing. And my Swedish friends knew all of the songs, and I had no idea what was going on. I was just, like, humming along and bobbing my head. But it was so much fun. We met loads of other Swedish people, and then all of a sudden everyone around you is speaking in Swedish. And you're just sitting there
That's
like,
crazy.
All right, I'll just nod and smile. But it was a lot of fun.
I think if there was a lesson from today's episode, really, though, is that it's super, like, fun and fantastic to engage with either a local holiday when you're in the country or a situation like this where there's a community within the city you're in
mm-hmm.
who want to get together and celebrate their holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And even the flip... And then, of course, the third one is you initiating your own celebration of your holiday abroad. But all three of them... Holidays can be such a great way to, like, obviously drink a lot of alcohol and have fun,
yeah.
but also to, like, make friends and bond and learn about another culture.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure you learned a lot about Swedish culture just through being surrounded by this, like, being like, okay.
Yeah,
like...
I don't think I remember much of it since I had so much schnapps, but I'm sure I did learn a lot.
It's in there somewhere. You just need to activate your drunken recall.
Honestly, I was looking for some stories to share, and I was actually shocked, though, because I was in a Reddit thread about holidays abroad just to see, like, in prep for this episode, what people were saying. And there were so many people that were like, it's great being abroad. You don't have to celebrate stuff because it's just another day here. And I was like, who are you? What do you mean
dickheads,
you
obviously.
Don't want to celebrate? Like, they're like, yeah, it's just... Oh, and one girl... She, like, lived abroad, or she was, like, studying abroad in Italy or something, and she'd completely forgotten it was the 4th of July and spent all day wearing, like, this Italia shirt. And she's like, it wasn't until the end of the day I realized it was the 4th of July, and then I felt super unpatriotic wearing another country's shirt all day on the 4th of July. But
oh,
I would
no.
never let that happen.
I mean, there
happen.
Are a lot of
like,
Italian
I would
immigrants
never
in the States, though.
Forget an Italian, like, I would, not an Italian holiday, I would just never forget a holiday. I just love them so much.
I would, yeah, I can't say I could forget one.
I had a story, though, that I wanted to read out to you because I thought that you'd appreciate it. And it was actually really funny that you mentioned Outback Steakhouse earlier.
Is this from Reddit?
Yeah.
Nice.
So
all
I'm
right.
I'm just going to read this. It's a very quick story. And it's written by some Aussies. We've been in the U.S. for the last few Australia days and have visited Outback Steakhouse for them. We wouldn't normally go to that kind of restaurant, and they don't know that it's a special day when we're there. But each time has been a lot of fun, laughing at the menus and drinking Foster's, which is basically an export-only beer, and playing
yep.
up our Australian-ness.
That's amazing.
Yeah. But the funniest part of that to me was that the people in Outback Steakhouse don't know that it's Australia Day.
Oh, and that menu is just borderline offensive, because I enjoy Outback, but the menu makes no sense. Like,
yeah, it's not actually Australian
food. Stuff we
food.
Eat in Australia. They just put the names of towns in front of things.
Mm-hmm.
Toowoomba Reef Cod. Like,
yeah.
Woolloomooloo Beefsteak. And I'm like, what? These things don't match up to anything.
And it is true, though, that you guys don't drink Foster's at home.
Oh, God,
But
no.
you do drink it abroad.
It's usually because it's the only, like, the only beer available that isn't, like, watery crap. At least that's why I've drank it here in a bar in the States, because I'm not a Budweiser or what are the other ones? All those terrible macro brew beers. I'd rather drink a crappy Foster's than a crappy Budweiser.
Yeah, I had a lot of Aussie friends that in London, they all drank Foster's because it was the cheapest, like, decent beer
yeah.
to drink in the pub.
And I feel like when you're abroad, you some part of you wants to lean into the stereotypes.
Yeah.
Like, now, in my daily life, I say g'day all the time, but I definitely say it more here in the States. I'm like, g'day, g'day, g'day.
Actually,
can't help
my
it,
friend,
and it's probably the same with Foster's.
Yeah, my friend Nick does that. He, he always,
it's
like, yeah, g'day, how's it going?
Yeah, it's
a terrible accent.
Of, yeah. G'day, mate.
G'day, mate, oh, how's yeah. it going?
Jeez, that's
that was worse than the first one. Oh, God.
Yeah, I think you just sort of lean into it. It's like a way of staying connected. I mean, Lord knows my accent doesn't sound that Aussie most of the time, so
yeah.
I have to put it on.
And it's fun being the outsider, whereas I try to hide my American accent and
Well, use as many British terms there'll be a time again when you can be proudly American in public.
That is the funny thing, though, is that I'm, like, the least patriotic person because I fucking hate American accent. When I hear them here, I cringe. Like, that's how bad it is. I'm really not, like, patriotic at all or, like being from there until someone else kind of threatens it, I guess.
And then you're like, you shit.
Yeah, only I'm allowed to talk shit about my country. but also when it's holidays. So, like, July 4th, like, I'm not a patriotic person, but I fucking love 4th of July. And then I want all the, like, country music and give me all of the red, white, and blue things I'll wear all day. And yeah.
Fair.
Anything else?
Well, shit. I think we've done a pretty solid job of covering all the different permutations of holidays abroad. I feel bad that I haven't done more of the, like, famous international holidays. Like, I've never celebrated Diwali in India or Songkran in Thailand, but...
I really want to do those. No, but I did celebrate Holi in New York, which was when I first moved there, and me and my Swedish friend went. So, obviously, neither of us are Hindu. It's Hindu, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that who celebrates?
I believe so.
Holi. If I am wrong, please... Yeah, can you fact-check me real quick, please?
I'm fact-checking you real quick. Oh, come on. Put it in the... It's a Hindu festival.
Yeah, okay. Yes. I was right. Thank God. So we went... She was like, oh, there's this Hindu, like, concert festival thing going on Governor's Island. You want to go? And it was literally right after I moved there. She had just moved to New York. So we went, and it was so much fun. And it was all, like, a bunch of Hindu people, a bunch of Indian food and stuff like that. Loads of, like, bands. And then you could buy bags of all of the different color powders. And so you just spent whole time, like, in the crowd dancing, and everyone is just throwing all these different colored powders up in the air, and you're throwing it at each other. And by the end of it, like, we were just covered in all of these bright different colored, like, powder paint things. And, like, you come home and you shower and, like, you wash your clothes and nothing stains. It all comes out, which was thank God. And people were looking at us like we were idiots on the subway. Like, no one knew that that holiday was going on. Or that's what it was. So everyone's looking at us just, like, covered in, like, different paint colors.
They probably just thought you were high. They were like, kids these
went
days.
To, like, some 24-hour rave. But, yeah, it was so much fun. And, like, it wasn't either of our holiday. But we had the best time being around people who were celebrating it. And it was important to them. And it's a fun holiday. Dancing, throwing bright colored powders at each other, and just, like, having a good time.
It's like Songkran. I really want to celebrate that, which is like...
Is that the one with the water?
Yeah, it's just a Thai water fight, like a whole national water fight.
That, I've seen so many videos, like, especially...
Someday.
I always have friends that happen to be there when that's on, so I always see, like, Instagram stories.
Oh, yeah. It's like a big attraction to go there for that. Much like going to India for Holi. It's the same thing. Like, a lot of people make a trip specifically for the holiday.
Yeah. I couldn't imagine, like, even just being at that small festival in New York was amazing. I couldn't imagine actually being in the country where it's celebrated properly.
Someday. Yeah. It's on my bucket list. My ever-expanding bucket list.
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir there. I think we pretty much covered everything. That was such... It just gets me so excited for Thanksgiving this weekend.
I know
it's not really Thanksgiving for another 2 weeks in America, but this is the only weekend we can do it, and there's no way we were skipping Thanksgiving this year. So
hey, doing your holidays abroad is all about compromise. Yeah. Like, even last year, before we go, my mum wanted to do a Thanksgiving for Rochelle as like a nice gift, you know, a surprise for her. But it was really hard to find all of the ingredients. Like, Australia doesn't really do turkey.
Yeah.
I mean, we found one. It wasn't cheap, but we found one eventually. And, like, just some of the things were missing, you know? Like, we couldn't do it exactly as she would have liked it. But that's kind of how you do holidays abroad sometimes. You've got to compromise a little bit.
Yeah.
But, hey, as long as you're still celebrating it...
It's the
still...
thought that counts.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, before we fully wrap up, I just had one thing I forgot to mention in our intro. My episode of House Hunters International is out now.
Yay! Okay, do we have like a link to watch it, or
I have a really shit quality YouTube link that someone's uploaded.
Okay.
Otherwise you'd need to get it off HGTV's website.
Okay.
But I'm sure I can link them. It's not a great quality one. The sound is out of sync. I will see if I can source a better quality copy.
If anybody wants to watch it find that on the HGTV website. I'm assuming they'll probably have it. Do you have to have an account to watch it?
Yeah, and I believe so. So I'm going to try and find a good quality link that we can share with the listeners.
Okay.
So that they
we'll include
they can watch 22 minutes of me.
We'll include it in the description of this episode.
Perfect. Yeah, let's
do that.
So people
can always find it. And then, do we want to do a quick game? We can't
have
our first episode back and not have a game.
Yeah, I've got to do it.
So, would you rather? Holiday edition.
Oh, Lord. Okay, let's do it.
Have you thought of any, or are you just going to wing it like you always do?
I'm going to have to wing it because I only saw your message that we were playing this like 5 minutes before I jumped on Skype.
Well, that's fine because you're really good off the cuff, which is why I lead to do all of the funny, witty stuff, whereas I have to pre-plan things.
All right, hit me with yours and then I'll come up with something.
Okay, so I'm going to start with maybe not an easy one, but it might be easier for you.
Okay.
Would you rather no longer ever be able to celebrate Thanksgiving or Christmas?
Oh, no, this is pretty easy for me. I'm sorry, Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I figured that would actually be really easy
I feel
for
like
you.
I know I'm supposed to come up with one of my own, but I feel like I need to ask you that one because I feel like that's going to
be
more conflicting for you.
Well, we always answer each other's questions.
Questions. Fine.
You can't steal that one.
Damn it.
I would probably say Thanksgiving as well. I love Thanksgiving, but when forming this question, I'm also thinking, you also can't do any of the stuff, the ball Christmassy stuff. So, that'd be, no going to look at Christmas lights and no singing songs and no watching Christmas movies. Nothing Christmas related whatsoever.
Oh, yeah. It's
and
a no-brainer.
Yeah, no fucking way.
All right. For you, would you rather celebrate Christmas on the beach or 4th of July in the snow?
Ooh. That's a hard one, and also very similar to my next question.
Oh, no.
do I still get, fireworks and stuff like that?
You can still have fireworks. In fact, you still have to dress as you would normally.
Oh, well, fuck that.
So
I would rather be hot than cold, so I'll be Christmas on the beach. There's no fucking
Christmas
way
on the beach
freezing my
so
ass
bad.
Off. Well, so mine was similar, and so I was going to say, would you rather spend Christmas on a beach in Hawaii, getting a tan, sipping Mai Tais, and you have to eat a burger and fries for dinner.
Ooh.
Or spend it in the freezing cold in Lapland, which is where Santa's from, apparently.
Where Santa lives.
Yeah. Building snowmen, drinking glog, and eating a full roast dinner with all the trimmings. So would you rather be freezing cold in Lapland doing all of that Christmassy stuff, or on a nice warm beach getting a tan, sipping Mai Tais, and eating burgers?
Now, before I answer, and this will have no bearing on my answer whatsoever, what is glog?
Do you know what glühwein is?
Oh, yeah, like mulled wine.
So glog is, they're slightly different. So I think glühwein is the mulled wine with all the spices and whiskey, or bourbon.
Oh, really?
Glog, which I drank my weight in yesterday at the Christmas market, is mulled wine with all of the spices, port, and vodka.
Holy shit.
Yeah, so good.
Well, as I said, no bearing on my answer. I'm taking the snow. Because even though I grew up in Australia where it's sunny and warm on Christmas, I've always wanted to do a proper white Christmas and I've never had the chance. So
spending it in Mexico was really hard for me for that reason. Even when we were doing all the Christmas gifts and, the dinner with everybody and we knew it was Christmas, it still didn't feel like Christmas because I was in a tank top shorts and I know that's how you guys celebrate all the time. And even me being from California, it's not exactly freezing cold, but it's still chilly. And it's still, at least when you're watching the Christmas movies, it feels somewhat relatable. And when you see pine trees decorated, it seems relatable.
Yeah, I think if I'd grown up on the coast, I'd relate more. But because I grew up in rural Australia, the idea of being on the beach on Christmas Day just feels weird to me.
Yeah. I think that's
normal.
No. Sorry, Aussies.
It's abnormal.
Weirdo.
It's only really a few. It's only like the major cities on the coast, I feel like, that do the beachy stuff. Anyone from the country is going to do it at home.
Yeah.
My next question. This is going to be tough because I'm making it up as I go here. Would you rather have Outback Steakhouse for Christmas dinner
forever,
or Mexican food
forever?
For every Christmas
going
forward.
For every Christmas going forward, either Outback Steakhouse or Mexican food?
Yeah. Now, bear in mind, Outback has an extensive menu with a lot of cocktails.
I know. I think I'd have to say Outback Steakhouse, because as much as I love Mexican food, Outback will at least probably have, like, because we don't have turkey or, like, we do, like, ham or, like, roast beef or, like, steak for Christmas, like, red meat.
Oh, okay.
And so, for me, like, Outback will probably have a more similar Christmassy type dinner selection of, like, meat and potatoes and salad.
Yeah. Definitely. They probably have a Christmas menu, to be honest.
Yeah, they probably do.
So
I definitely have to go with Outback. What about you?
Outback for me as well. If only because my first Christmas abroad was spent in an Outback steakhouse. It just seems fitting to have
that. That'll be your new tradition.
Yeah, that's my foreign tradition.
Okay. I have a great one for you. It's my last one.
Oh, shit. All right.
Would you rather have to spend every St. Patrick's Day in Temple Bar, Dublin, dressed as a leprechaun? Or every Valentine's Day under the Eiffel Tower dressed as Cupid.
Oh, Cupid just wears like a diaper. Right?
And wings.
You know, I'm going to go with Valentine's
really?
Day.
Really?
If only, yeah, well, because I like to be the center of attention as long as it's on purpose, which I assume this would be. But also, I feel like a lot of people would find that, like, fun. You know, a lot of people who are there for their romantic Valentine's Day thing would think that was funny. Yeah. Whereas being dressed as a leprechaun in an Irish bar on St. Patrick's Day just seems like the clichéest cliché that could ever be cliché.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
And I feel like there'd be like 50 other dudes doing it, so like it would be like redundant.
Yeah, I don't like to be the center of attention. Surprise, surprise. So I'll be one of the million masses of leprechauns.
I'll be twerking in my Cupid outfit and firing glitter filled arrows in the air. It'll be amazing.
Oh God, that's so funny. That's a mental image if I've ever had one. I need to finish my red wine and forget that memory ever exists.
Oh, it's in there forever now. It's like a worm burrowing into your brain.
Oh God.
So God, now my last one. All right. See, I wish I'd had more time to prepare all of this. Would you rather?
You don't have to think of another one.
Okay, good, because I am struggling. Next time, I'll have more than 10 minutes notice, and I'll be able to think of some fun ones ahead of time. Perfect. Well, then.
What a fun first episode back.
It's good to be back. It feels good to do this again.
It feels right.
Yeah, I hope people didn't begrudge us the longer-than-expected break too much.
Yeah.
But I think it's been good for us. I think we were definitely going to be too busy between massive time differences and wedding planning and honeymoons and new jobs and new apartments.
And the time difference alone was, like, ridiculous between here and Australia.
It was a nightmare. Yeah, it was either I had to be up at, like, 2 in the morning or 7 in the morning. Those were my two options.
Or I had to be, like, blocking out an hour of my time at work pretending like I had a meeting so we could record.
She sure is laughing a lot on that business call.
Oh, all right, well, that's it for today. We hope you guys enjoyed this first episode of the new season. I feel like this is like kind of our second season now, I guess we could just call it that.
It's definitely season two. Let's call it season two.
I feel like it's only gonna be better when you're in London. We might have to do like a video recorded
do a live one,
maybe not live.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Well, not live, but I mean like together.
Yeah,
in the same room.
In the same room.
Yeah,
video recorded.
Pretty sure it's
YouTube
impossible to do a live podcast. We could do a webcast and then have the episode online later.
I
have a Twitch account.
Podcast.
Yeah.
All right.
Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about all that stuff. I forgot to hassle you guys.
You can find us online. I don't know where. Kate.
Instagram at Comes With Baggage Pod. Twitter at CWB Podcast.
Twitter.
And
that's Facebook.
The Baggage Podcast? I don't know.
That's
you'll
the
find
one.
Us. Rate.
We're also on Spotify.
Yep, we're on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, all of the places that you stream your podcasts. And send us messages of love and tell us how much you like this episode. Tell us what was your favorite part. What's your favorite holiday? And we will
see you next Tuesday.